Good morning. I have been blessed to know Pastor Craig French for almost 15 years now. We work together on community activities, including the Bridges Out of Poverty program that this magnificent parish has adopted. And we have been together in prayer groups and kibbutz often about life and family. Craig likes to kibbutz, and for those that don't know that word, is a Yiddish word that means talk and chat, and that is Pastor French, right? Well, I like to kibbutz as well, and Craig asked me if I would join you today, and I am not used to appearing before a church, and I asked him what he thought I could add to this community. And so he said he thought about me because he knew I was engaged in different types of service, that he mentioned how he knew I just left my law partnership with a great law firm in this community after 32 years and joined a legal aid organization for poor to help manage it. And he said, and you know, you work with me on the Bridges Out of Poverty, and wow, that story I read about you in December, and if you read that story about this fiery crash on the thruway where a soldier crashed into an embankment and exploded on fire and was rescued, he said, well, you were the first person on the scene there. And so I said, oh, so what you want me to do is stand before your congregation like Fonzie on the show Happy Days and go, hey! And he looked and he said, that's not exactly what I had in mind. And he asked me, he said, seriously, try to reflect. You know, what was it? How was the Spirit moving and working in your life? And I asked him quite seriously. I said, well, Craig, what if the Spirit had nothing to do with any of those decisions? I did it because it made me happy. And without missing a beat, like the great pastor he is, he said, well, fine. Then reflect and talk about why the Spirit had nothing to do with it. And he was a step ahead of me because, like the good pastor, like a very powerful spiritual director, he caused me to reflect on the consequences of engaging in life and making decisions without acknowledging an awareness of the presence of the Spirit. And the readings here and the opening prayer are a marvelous start. God was present with us today. The readings reminded us that God is present in all things and leads us. And that, as Paul suggested, despite my stubbornness, we can never escape from God's Spirit. But I struggle with that reality. I struggle with the reality of God's Spirit, how it is present, how it leads us. And I suspect that I am not alone in that struggle about how to employ that in our lives. Sometimes we do things for others, even at sacrifice, because it makes us happy. Is that God's Spirit? Paul's letter to the Romans today says, not so fast. There's going to be some suffering to reckon with. I also struggle how to understand how the Spirit moves us, because people have a habit in today's era and in all ages of invoking the Spirit for their own interests, their own way of thinking, for their own happiness. We hear it every day. People solemnly invoke the name of God and Jesus and give testimony to how the Bible and the teachings of Jesus relate to their interests, as if to say, if you vote for me, you get God with it. Or that if you do business with me, well, God's part of that. Or, if you love me, You get God too. And we are immersed, of course, in political turmoil. We observe conflict between nations, within our community, between communities. And sadly, we have to reckon with the fact that so much of this turmoil can be traced to religious conflicts. And so many of those who are engaged in these conflicts invoke the Spirit of God to justify their actions. And so I not only struggle to understand the Spirit, but I have a very healthy skepticism toward those who proclaim their righteousness or the righteousness of their actions in the name of the Spirit. As I reflected on the readings today, it seems to me that Paul understands well the nature of sin and death and the flesh as really powerful forces that lead people to act in ways that are contrary to God's will and do produce chaos, despair, selfishness, destruction, not only in their lives, but in their communities. And heaven knows, we just talked about it. There was a lot of it in the news this week, right? The Gaza Strip, the Ukraine, the challenges we face to deal with children who are leaving their families to come here for a better life and what that means and what our responsibilities are. And so in the face of this turmoil, in the face of the death and the violence we see and the hardships we see, we do ask, what does the Spirit want? What is the power of the Spirit that today's scripture readings say guides us and supports us? And we ask, as we always do, why isn't this power fixing these problems? To me, as I reflected on this and responded to Craig's challenge, the Spirit is not a force that manipulates us or validates our actions, but instead is a process of reasoning, a process of trying to discern certain values to guide us. And as I reflect on that and ask what are these values, I recognize that even there, the world is divided. There are things that we can say quite easily. I think they come to us naturally in this particular community. The values of aspirations and values that are mirrored in the life of Jesus and his Sermon on the Mount are something that I suspect we all take to heart. Truth, love, compassion, justice, a sense of solidarity, respect for the dignity of people. These are all wonderful things. They're easy to say and not so easy to do and not so easy to agree on what they mean in daily life. And because it's not easy, the chaos and destruction and violence, that suffering that Paul reflected on today, that we live through in the news this week, are present in our lives always. And we pray. Today's psalm that was read asked God to point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And as we pray, we ask, and I asked today, is there a message that stands above that helps us understand the Spirit, that helps us move toward the Spirit at work that we acknowledge is here, and that connects us to the life of Jesus and the struggles of this world in a concrete way? And I want to conclude with these thoughts to see if they can help us move to common ground, not just as members of this faith community, but as citizens. We said the Lord's Prayer this morning at the start, and I have never heard anyone, I've never heard any community say, give me this day my bread, my daily bread. It's us. Our. 5 times the word us is repeated in the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer reminds us that we are in this together. And to me, that's a pretty strong hint about the path that the Spirit seeks, the foundation of the values that should guide us in what we do. To me, there's a moral contract. I'm a lawyer, so I think in terms of contracts. There's a moral contract in the work of the Spirit. When we ask God to give us our daily bread in exchange for the blessing of life and the beauty and magnificence of the mountains that Barbara showed us. It means that in exchange for this glory, we do what we can to make life better for people in whatever we do. I find, as a citizen, the work of the Spirit in the very first words of our Constitution. We, the people, not you, the people, not give me my country back, the people. We, the people. I take these words seriously because I don't know how we build a society and truly engage with the Spirit of God without reciprocity, without looking out for each other. And to me, that is the essence of the work of the Spirit that we are celebrating today. And for me, at least, it means that we work to bring justice to the social systems that shape the conditions of everyone. And yet the question remains, how do we know that it is the Spirit at work as opposed to our own selfish ego or desires in what we do each day? I just read a great book, and in fact I seem to recall Barbara's panel on the Ivory Tower might have mentioned this book, The Good Lord Bird. A fictional account of John Brown, the famous and, yes, fanatical abolitionist from the 1850s who fought a crusade against slavery. He followed what he thought was the Spirit of God, and not just opposing slavery, but bringing violence to it if necessary, even if it meant murder and destruction. The author included Harriet Tubman in that book as well, a very powerful abolitionist and women's rights advocate who, as we may know, once lived in Auburn, New York. And she's portrayed in this book not just as the powerful historical figure she is, but as the voice of a higher spirit guiding us. And in one passage, Tubman tells Brown, who was plotting an insurrection, quote, "I hope you do have a plan, Captain, for if you don't, we all suffer for nothing." Brown said, "I'm working on it with God's help." Tubman replied, "That ain't enough. God gives you the seed, but the watering and caring of that seed is up to you. You're a farmer, Captain. You know this." "Of course," the old man grumbled. Tubman said, "Make sure it's right." Powerful messages. Do more than just think and proclaim. Act. Have a plan so that other people do not suffer, and make sure it's right. And as I leave you, I have two thoughts on how we make sure. Because I believe that making sure it's right constantly requires a reflection, an assessment, self-assessment, to make sure what we do enhances not just those around us, but the lives of other people. But to be spiritual and to follow the Spirit means more than just feeling good and reflecting. Because if we know anything about human nature, as we saw this week, it's that people's sense of goodness does not always match their behavior, and some people's sense of goodness does, in fact, leave a trail of harm. Good intentions quite often fall off the rail. And Craig's challenge to me led me to make this final discernment. And that is that self-reflection is necessary, but a window is a far more powerful tool than a mirror. That's why this community is so important. Not only because we are in this together, but because this community is our window. It's where we see and hear and share with others. It's where we are held accountable. Community, to me, is a window to the Spirit. And that, I believe, is what calls us to engage, to test yourself in the arena with others, whether it is here with your family, whether it's politics, whether it is just your neighborhood. Because we're in it together. And we have to be held accountable. So thank you to Craig and to you for giving me this opportunity to overcome my own skepticism, to try to understand the Spirit better, how it is present and calls us, we the people, together, looking out for each other and making sure that others do not suffer because of our misguided plans. Making sure our plan is right. And my time is over. It's back to action. And to make sure, with your help, and with the help of this community, that the plan is right. And I thank you for this chance.